Hello once again and welcome to the program. We continue in our series today in the last mile of the way. We're looking in the book of Jude. Now, when we get into verses 20 to 25, he focuses on how we can have the victory in an age of apostasy. We'll read these verses here. It says, "But ye, beloved." Now, for previous verses, he's been focusing on some pretty bad stuff, the apostasy and the people who are promoting it. Then he focuses on us, "but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Then he concludes, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling into the apostasy, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen." So we've been looking at Jude's purpose. He said, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you." Now, the first two verses we read here is, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves." Number two, praying, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's important. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Do we even know what that means? And then number three, keep yourselves in the love of God. So before we go any further, let's listen to this tremendous message and song. I first heard it. It was October the 7th, 1955. It was about 7:15 in the evening. It was a Friday night. I was an unsaved boy of 12 years of age. Within an hour after hearing this song, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It's always been a favorite song for me. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." Think about it. The love of God. Thank you. Once again, we're looking at Jude's purpose for writing. He said, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you." We need to take this very personal. Sometimes we just read the verse and we think, well, he's talking about somebody 2,000 years ago or all those people in the church. No, it's personal. "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you." Now, this exhorting in Acts 27, in that vicious storm, Paul said to the people on that ship, "I exhort you to be of good cheer." And so, in the midst of the storm, we call it apostasy today, "I exhort you," the Bible says, "be of good cheer." 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "I exhort you how ye ought to walk." 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." If you were taken to court today and charged with warning the unruly, would they have any evidence to prove you are guilty? Jude 1:3 here, he said, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend." Earnestly contend. Okay, let's go to court again. The judge says, "Are you guilty of earnestly contending? Can we find any evidence to prove you're guilty? Who did you contend about what in the last week, month, year?" He said, "It was needful for me to write unto you." Needful. Why? We've said before, because the world, one word will describe what's going on out there, and it was prophesied, that's anarchy. As far as what we call Christianity is concerned, one word will describe that, and that's apostasy. But God has always had a remnant, and the problem today is that the remnant has a problem with apathy. And so he says, "I write unto you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." Now, to contend is to assert something as a position in an argument. To assert is to state a fact or belief confidently and forcefully. And so we have a lot of false doctrine in the world today, and the worst one is that you don't need to repent in order to salvation. If you believe that false doctrine from hell that is being presented by independent Baptists today, and I'm an independent Baptist, we are presenting that. I'm not throwing rocks at somebody while I stand on the sidelines. Wake up. We, who call ourselves fundamental independent Baptists, are guilty of refusing to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And now, that is being promoted by fundamentalists, that you don't have to repent. And the biggest part of that is the apathy, which is a lack of concern by those of us who know you do need to repent. But I don't want to get into these issues. Well, then, you're just not right with God. It's that simple. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. And so he talks about the love of God. "I am persuaded," Paul said, "that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul said, "I am persuaded." To be persuaded is to cause someone to believe something. Paul said, "I believe it. I believe it too." Well, all right, the love of God. The context here is Romans 8 and 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If we could just get a handle on how much God really loves us. Now, 1 John 2:5, John said, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him is the love of God perfected." Notice this part of the verse. "Hereby know we that we are in him. He that keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Now, Jude 1:21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Now, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What is the commandment? Well, here's one. We exhort you, Jude said, you should earnestly contend for the faith. It's a commandment, not a suggestion. Whoso keepeth his word, the love of God is perfected. Proverbs 19:16, we read, he that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. You want to find the peace that passes understanding in this world? We need to keep his commandments. And so the love of God is perfected. 1 John 4:5, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. This thing about loving has to do with sometimes rebuking. If we love one another, then we're going to defend the word of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's listen to this message in song once again. I like the last verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.